me, Shadow Resistance.
In this new world, such dangerous currents have swept along faster than our efforts to contain them, and that is why we cannot afford to be divided. No one nation, no matter how large or powerful, can defeat such challenges alone. The burdens of global citizenship continue to bind us together. Partnership and cooperation among nations is not a choice. It is the only way, the one way, to protect our common security and advance our common humanity.
Die wissenlosesten Länder der Gegenwart sind bis heute zugegeben. Schon seit dem Jahr 1936, der den Schluss gefasst hat.
What we're dealing with here is a total lack of respect for the law.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
You are listening to Shadow Resistance Radio.
We'll be right back. Resistance. Queensrÿche, Shadow Resistance. Shadow Resistance Radio, everybody. This is Jake. Welcome. It is 12:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, March 28th, 2010. And I'm coming to you here via the live stream, and if you are listening to the podcast, it is a recording. And today, as I announced on our Facebook page, this could very well be the last broadcast for some time. As many have noted, the shows have been getting shorter. I have not really been following the original format that we used to follow of giving you updates on current events and the types of stories that don't always make it to the mainstream. And there's things that you may not necessarily have heard of. And in addition to that, I usually follow it up with the stuff I like to talk about, the weird, the bizarre, etc. The things that I feel point us in the direction of the shadow government, those pulling the strings behind the scenes, the strings of control. And basically what it amounts to is I haven't had the time to dedicate to the show that I used to have. I'm working on some other projects right now. As I mentioned, I'm working on a couple of writing projects, one about the public education system that I think is going to, it needs to be told, and it needs to be spelled out for people to read and understand in a simple way, and so I need to focus my attention there. I also have a project I have just started regarding, let's just say the ruling elite, and we'll leave it at that. But at any rate, it's been a lot of fun over the last couple of years, and like I said, this is not the end of Shadow Resistance Radio. It's like I said, I'm taking a little break, a little brief hiatus, so I can focus my attentions on these two projects, and then hopefully by the end of the summer of 2010, I'll be able to start back up with the live broadcasts. In addition to that, I will still have the live stream of music playing, and you'll always be able to listen to the live stream being streamed here from the Shadow Resistance Bunker, provided my IP remains static and I have to occasionally upgrade the website. My IP just went down here at the top of the show, which is why I'm running a little bit late. I have no explanation or understanding of why that would happen. But it looks to be working now, and I'm going to push forward with the show. And so I wanted to touch base about those kinds of things that are kind of going on here at the bunker. Like I said, very busy, but I will continue to stream awakened music from the likes of Downcount, Sons of Liberty, Agent Steel, Creator, Megadeth, Iron Maiden, you name it, that music will still be playing here. And I will also be streaming poignant interviews or talks, lectures that are informative in these areas of secret societies, secret knowledge. It will all be on here. So continue to kind of scope it out. Keep listening. Yeah, there will be something here for everyone. I want to reiterate a call to arms, in a sense. And when I say call to arms, I mean that literally a call to not action, but a call to mindfulness of the Second Amendment. As Downcount says in their wonderful song, Come and Take It, which I have queued up here a little bit later in the show. Stand opposed to every ban. Gun control is a steady hand. Remember that. It's the only thing keeping us free at this point, and I don't know for how long based on all of these stories. A part of the reason why I'm thinking of taking a break here from Shadow Resistance Radio is I've been doing this on my own now for, nearly a year. And what I find is there's just too much information. There's just too much to deal with. Everything from know, story, the stories that are going to be hitting the mainstream media, everyone. Here's one from Washington Post. Here's the title. Former militiaman unapologetic for calls to vandalize offices over healthcare. They are going to paint all of these people with a very broad brush that these people are crazy, etc., etc. There is another example. There is a CNN attack piece that was promoting this idea of calling the Tea Parties and the pro-constitutional movements as violent. You're going to be seeing more and more of this on mainstream media. The kind of broadcasting that I do is going to be, you know, seen as insightful. No, that is not the reason why I'm taking a break. If anything, I would take that as a compliment if they actually even paid attention, considering the fact that I have such a tiny little following here on this show. But they are taking aim at people like Alex Jones, PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com. They made an attempt to demonize him personally and to discredit other grassroots political movements by the tone of the producer's questions. Alex picked up on this right away. The interview was filmed on Friday. It was set up by Anderson Cooper's producers. But so far it hasn't aired because Alex, of course, picked up on exactly what they were doing, and he called them out on several things. They don't know if I'm reading this from Alex's site, Kurt Nimmo, great writer. They ask the question, was Alex too controversial, or will excerpts of the footage be used in a future segment? In other words, will they splice and dice and try to paint him out to be a crazy? If chances are Alex was really good, and they won't be able to take any sound bites that will demonize him, hopefully. All that Anderson Cooper's program showed on Friday in connection with the alleged violent tendencies of the Tea Party movement were establishment phonies like Sarah Palin and John McCain. They're going to try to distort his responses, I'm sure. But I will have the link up to what really happened. Alex was filmed in his remote studio here in Austin, and they were asking questions from CNN, so you can't hear the CNN questions, but you can hear Alex's responses. And he continues to deny their attempt to frame his influence over talk radio and in documentary films as connected with violence, anarchy, or other such demonized terms. Alex called out CNN for their complicity in violence through the promotion of the Iraq War, which resulted in more than 1 million dead Iraqi civilians, including women and children. Alex dares CNN to mention over the airwaves the fact that Anderson Cooper was admittedly in the CIA and is part of the elite Astor family, or the fact that CNN reported the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7 more than an hour ahead of its actual collapse, likely in response to an early Reuters Wire report. Yet, no retraction has been made. Listen, folks, they're going on a propaganda offensive to attempt to really promote this idea that these people are crazy, etc. And right now you have a large FBI Homeland Security operation targeting militias in Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio. It says on Saturday night, again from InfoWars, on Saturday night the FBI and Homeland Security conducted what was described as a major operation against the Michigan militia. As of Sunday morning, the operation was not reported by national media, although it was covered by local media in Michigan. So, they're conducting raids all over the place. Here it is, folks. We are now in the endgame. They are going after people with guns. They're going after people who are openly defiant and say that they will take care of themselves. Also, everyone has been asking me what is my take on the healthcare bill. Well, there's way too much there to get into yet, 2,000 so many pages of it. But one thing that has happened is it did establish a ready reserve of troops Obama now has his private army he asked for back in 2008. You can hear the speech here.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
So that was in July 2nd, 2008. He wants a civilian police force that's as well-funded. Well, here's Obama Youth Brigade March in formation. Do you think it's strange that a group of young boys are dressed in military pants and boots and black t-shirts chanting Alpha Omega as they march forward? This is the Obama Youth Brigade. Now, a couple of things that the Senate revisions to the health care bill, it was buried in that. It was section 5210, if you want to look this up, 5210, is called Establishing a Ready Reserve Corps. Now, here's what, it's the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act, page 1312. Section 5210 reads, Establishing a Ready Reserve Corps. The section 203 of the Public Health Service Act is amended to read as follows. Section 203, Commissioned Corps and Ready Reserve Corps. A. Establishment 1. In general, here shall be in the service a commissioned regular corps and a ready reserve corps for service in time of national emergency. 2. Requirement. All commissioned officers shall be citizens of the United States and shall be appointed without regard to the civil service laws and compensated without regard to the Classification Act 2 of 1923 as amended. 3. Appointment. Commissioned officers of the Ready Reserve Corps shall be appointed by the President. Active duty. Commissioned officers of the Ready Reserve Corps shall at all times be subject to call to active duty by the Surgeon General, including active duty for the purpose of training. Warrant officers. That's Section 5. Warrant officers may be appointed to the service for the purpose of providing support to the health and delivery systems maintained by the service, and any warrant officer appointed to the service shall be considered for purposes of this act and Title 37, United Code, to be a commissioned officer within the commissioned corps of the service. Everyone, that means that if they're pressed into service, this idea of health and delivery systems, that is legal speak for the forced vaccinations that are to come. Now, it says, let's see, the purpose of this Ready Reserve Corps is to fulfill the need to have additional commissioned corps personnel available on short notice, similar to the Uniformed Services Reserve Program, to assist regular commissioned corps personnel to meet both routine public health and emergency response missions, and they shall participate in routine training, be available and ready for involuntary calls to active duty. Involuntary calls to active duty during national emergencies and public health crisis. So they get to run out another bullshit little flu scare that doesn't amount to anything compared to the real flu. They'll concoct another one in their laboratories. They will roll that out, force some vaccinations. And what will happen is that you will have nice little bugs in all of these vaccinations that will begin to cull the herd. If you remember, there was a great quote. If you haven't been watching, or if you haven't watched, you can think what you want about the guy, but Jesse Ventura's show, Conspiracy Theory, there was a great clip he had where he was interviewing a non-Pat doctor. She had moved to Central America, and several of her patients were the world elite, extremely wealthy people traveling. stop in for a checkup while they're on vacation. And one of them said, "Oh, you know, dear, that we're on the verge of the Great Culling. It's going to happen very soon. I'm very excited. I can't wait." So we're on the verge of that. That's what's coming down the pike. I have a few more stories here for you. I'm going to take a little break. We're going to listen to Ministry, Lies, Lies, Lies. That's Cognitive Dissonance. And after that, have a little Maiden, The Evil That Men Do. Shadow Resistance Radio, thanks for tuning in. Final show for a while, folks, so I'm going to make it a good one. Stay tuned.
America has been hijacked. Not by Al-Qaeda. Not by Bin Laden. But by a group of tyrants. That should be of great concern to all Americans. You still think that Sheffield brought down the World Trade Center?
join the resistance. You are listening to Shadow Resistance Radio.
Sometimes, to uncover that which is hidden, we must first be made to look. We rely upon others to inform us. What wisdom can never be told, and we must always discern the truth for ourselves.
Broadcasting live on Sunday, noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Shadow Resistance Radio. Down count, come and take it. Like I keep saying, Doug, great tune, man, great tune. Phenomenal. So if you want it, you'll have to come and take it. Understand, tyranny is in my sight. I love the line that gun control is a steady hand. And on that note, I have an email from a friend of the show, Big Mike. Thanks for sending this in to me. The title of the email was Coming Soon, and you'll understand what I mean by that as I read this. I'm going to read it to you in its entirety. You're sound asleep when you hear a thump outside your bedroom door. Half awake and nearly paralyzed with fear, you hear muffled whispers. At least two people have broken into your house and are moving your way. With your heart pumping, you reach down beside your bed and pick up your shotgun. You rack a shell in the chamber, then inch toward the door and open it. In the darkness, you make out two shadows. One holds something that looks like a crowbar. When the intruder brandishes it, as if to strike, you raise the shotgun and fire. The blast knocks both thugs to the floor. One writhes and screams while the second man crawls to the front door and lurches outside. As you pick up the telephone to call police, you know you're in trouble. In your country, most guns were outlawed years before, and the few that are privately owned are so stringently regulated as to make them useless. Yours was never registered. Police arrive and inform you that the second burglar has died. They arrest you for for first-degree murder and illegal possession of a firearm. When you talk to your attorney, he tells you not to worry. Authorities will probably plead the case down to manslaughter. What kind of sentence will I get, you ask? Only 10 to 12 years, he replies, as if that's nothing. Behave yourself, and you'll be out in 7. The next day, the shooting is the lead story in the local newspaper. Somehow, you're portrayed as an eccentric vigilante, while the two men you shot are represented as choir boys. Their friends and relatives can't find an unkind word to say about them. Buried deep down in the article, authorities acknowledge that both victims had been arrested numerous times. But the next day's headline says it all. Lovable rogue's son didn't deserve to die. The thieves have been transformed from career criminals into Robin Hood-type pranksters. As the days wear on, the story takes wings. The national media picks it up, and then the international media. The surviving burglar has become a folk hero. Your attorney says the thief is preparing to sue you, and he'll probably win. The media publishes reports that your home has been burglarized several times in the past and that you've been critical of local police for their lack of effort in apprehending the suspects. After the last break-in, you told your neighbor that you would be prepared next time. The district attorney uses this to allege that you were lying in wait for the burglars. A few months later, you go to trial. The charges haven't been reduced, as your lawyer had so confidently predicted. When you take the stand, your anger at the injustice of it all works against you. Prosecutors paint a picture of you as a mean, vengeful man. It doesn't take long for the jury to convict you of all charges. The judge sentences you to life in prison. This case really happened. On August 22, 1999, Tony Martin of Emnith, Norfolk, England, killed one burglar and wounded a second. In April 2000, he was convicted and is now serving a life term. So, how did it become a crime to defend one's own life in the once great British Empire? It all started with the Pistols Act of 1903. This seemingly reasonable law forbade selling pistols to minors or felons and established that handgun sales were to be made only to those who had a license. The Firearms Act of 1920 expanded licensing to include not only handguns but all firearms except shotguns. Enter laws passed in 1953 and 1967 outlawed the carrying of any weapon by private citizens and mandated the registration of all shotguns. Momentum for total handgun confiscation began in earnest after the Hungerford mass shooting in 1987. Some of you listeners may even remember this. Michael Ryan, a mentally disturbed man with a Kalashnikov rifle, walked down the streets shooting everyone he saw. When the smoke cleared, 17 people were dead. The British public, already desensitized by 80 years of gun control, demanded even tougher restrictions. The seizure of all privately owned handguns was the objective, even though Ryan used a rifle. See how they do that? 9 years later, at Dunblane, Scotland, Thomas Hamilton used a semi-automatic weapon to murder 16 children and a teacher at a public school. For many years, the media had portrayed all gun owners as mentally unstable or worse, criminals. Now the press had a real kook with which to beat up law-abiding gun owners. Day after day, week after week, the media gave up all pretense of objectivity and demanded a total ban on all handguns. The Dunblane inquiry, a few months later, sealed the fate of the few sidearms still owned by private citizens. During the years in which the British government incrementally took away most gun rights, the notion that a citizen had the right to armed self-defense came to be seen as vigilantism. Authorities refused to grant gun licenses to people who were threatened, claiming that self-defense was no longer considered a reason to own a gun. Citizens who shot burglars or robbers or rapists were charged with, while the real criminals were released. Indeed, after the Martin shooting, a police spokesman was quoted as saying, quote, "We cannot have people take the law into their own hands." All of Martin's neighbors had been robbed numerous times, and several elderly people were severely injured in beatings by young thugs who had no fear of consequences. Martin himself, a collector of antiques, had seen most of his collection trashed or stolen by burglars. When the Dunblane inquiry ended, citizens who owned handguns were given 3 months to turn them over to local authorities. Being good British subjects, most people obeyed the law. The few who didn't were visited by police and threatened with 10-year prison sentences if they didn't comply. Police later bragged that they'd taken nearly 200,000 handguns from private citizens. How did the authorities know who had handguns? the guns had been registered and licensed. Kind of like cars. Sound familiar? Wake up, America. This is why our founding fathers put the Second Amendment in our Constitution. It does not require a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen to set brush fires in people's minds, stated Samuel Adams. I love his beer, by the way. If you think this is important, I am going to have this posted on the Shadow Resistance forums in totality. Copy and paste into email and forward on. I will also try to get it out to the fans of Shadow Resistance Radio mailing list so that you can do the same. Again, I think that's just an incredibly strong and important message. Now, with that being said, as I said at the top of the show, the health care reform bill is one of the aspects of it. Just simply gives the president a private army. There are all kinds of things going on here right now, folks. A great story from The Independent. Texas school book massacre rewrites American history. You have, country music and the speeches of Jefferson Davis could soon be taught in the nation's classrooms. And in addition to that, Thomas Jefferson deserves to be erased from a list of great Americans. Thomas Jefferson was one of the key founding fathers who promoted freedom. From New Mexico, watchdog.org, stimulus funds went to non-existent zip code areas. First, it was phantom congressional districts, now it's phantom zip codes. So I'll have that up as well. In addition to the police state, another addition is that in the UK, big surprise, the police asks internet cafes to monitor customers. Internet cafe users in the British capital may want to watch what they download. Scotland Yard is advising administrators of public web spaces to periodically poke through their customers' files and keep an eye out for suspicious activity. You think that's a good one? Well, how about this one? On Wired.com, the new RFID tag could mean the end of barcodes. Lines at the grocery store might become as obsolete as milkmen if a new tag that seeks to replace barcodes becomes commonplace. Researchers from Suncheon National University in Suncheon, South Korea, and Rice University in Houston have built a radio frequency identification tag that can be printed directly onto cereal boxes and potato chip bags. The tag uses ink laced with the carbon nanotubes to print electronics on paper or plastic that could instantly transmit information about a cart full of groceries. Quote, you could run your cart by a detector and it tells you instantly what's in the cart, says James M. Tour of Rice University, whose research group invented the ink. No more lines and you just walk out with your stuff. Well, that sounds great, but you know what? The only way for that to actually happen is if you have a cashless society. If you go pushing your cart past one of these readers, it's automatically going to be charging the numbers of credits or whatever you happen to have in your account, whatever is going to take place of our monetary system after the collapse that is coming within the next 2 years. So, thank you, Wired.com, talking about how wonderful it could be that the RFID tag could mean the end of barcodes. Great way to track people, too. So, along with that, the last little tidbit of headline news that I would like to... This is from the Telegraph UK. And this, again, is more bullshit propaganda. Earth, quote, entering new age of geological time. The Earth has entered a new age of geological time, the epoch of new man, scientists claim. Well, let's see. You have new man for the new world. Humans have wrought such vast and unprecedented changes on the planet that we may be ushering in a new period of geological history. Through pollution, population growth, urbanization, travel, mining, and use of fossil fuels, we have altered the planet in ways which will be felt for millions of years, experts believe. It is feared that the damage mankind has inflicted will lead to the sixth largest mass extinction in Earth history, with thousands of plant animals being wiped out. The new epoch, called the Anthropocene, meaning new man, would be the first period of geological time shaped by the action of a single species. Wonderful, wonderful propaganda. So, just to know what's coming down the pike here, folks. We are psychologically being prepared for the Great Culling. When people like you and me will probably fall victim to some bug or virus that will interact with a commonly held virus that, you know, people already have in their bodies, whether it be a flu virus or the big vaccine a while back was HPV. Something like 85% of the population in America is HPV positive. They are carriers for that virus. So, I mean, all it takes is a virus to genetically interact with that to wipe out a large number of people. We are going to be facing that Great Culling probably right around the same time as the huge, probably soon after the big crash, when there are food shortages, there will be a crime wave, there will be I'm sure that would be the perfect timing for introducing a new sickness that would indeed be able to wipe people out. This healthcare bill and this private army for the president, that is not about saving lives. I think we all know what that's really about. It's about oppression. It's about control. It's about herding the sheeple into the backs of big trucks and carting them off to either the FEMA camps that are all waiting or, you know, locally operated large halls that can be turned into holding centers or pens. So we will be facing this food shortage. We will be facing this epidemic, pandemic of man-made bugs so that we useless eaters will stop using their natural resources. And keep paying attention to that mainstream media machine that keeps pointing out how anyone who calls them out on their behavior or talks about anything that is real or actually stands up and fights, these people will be demonized. We all, if we protest, and we will, if we are shot and killed, it's not going to be that big of a deal, according to the, you know, what the talking heads on the mainstream media propaganda machine are going to, how they're going to paint us. I've been purposely avoiding that one story about how the former militiaman was unapologetic for calls to vandalize offices over healthcare. He basically said, break their windows. This guy named Mike Vanderbo, a 57-year-old former militiaman from Alabama. Those are the stories that are getting the news. And basically what he was trying to do was give some sort of organization to the frustration, the anger, the outrage that all American citizens are feeling right now. Because as of yet, these are just random acts of violence. I don't promote that. I would promote, and I'm saying this very carefully, I would promote organized action. Organized in a way where you take your voice to those powers that be. You have to organize, organize, organize. If you are going to protest, wear helmets, carry shields to protect yourself. When a force comes upon a group of people who are completely unarmed and are walking peacefully, those unarmed people are not peaceful protesters. They are easy targets. If a police force were to come upon a group of protesters who were equipped to deal with physical attacks, they would be less likely to attack them. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. So organize, organize, organize. That's all I have to say. If you're going to protest, make sure that you are protected. And on that note, I am... Let's see, it's 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Shadow Resistance Radio. I am Jake. I'm signing off here for probably quite some time. So keep fighting the good fight. Keep visiting shadowresistance.com. I will try to update postings on the blog, on the website. The live stream will continue to stream music themed about freedom, lectures, interviews about out-of-the-way topics that are germane and important to you in your life. And I'm going to tell you, for the next couple of years, hopefully you will see me start up again here at the end of the summer. But I'm going to tell you, stock up on food, on ammo, to protect your food. You're going to need it. Shadow Resistance Radio. Thanks for listening, folks.